Brothers and sisters, no one ever wants to talk about hell. We don't hear a lot of people talking about it today, but it is real. No one wants to hear about hell, but then we get a reading like our gospel today, and it is clear from our Lord that we need to think about hell, and that it is very important that we do. Lazarus the beggar and the rich man die and go to the place of the dead, Sheol in Hebrew, or Hades in Greek. In Sheol, there are two places, a place of comfort and a place of torment. Before Christ descended to the dead, all who died, whether righteous or evil, went to Sheol. Lazarus went to the place of comfort, and the rich man went to the place of torment. And these two places were separated by a great chasm which could not be crossed. When we say that Christ descended into hell in the Creed, he went to Sheol, to the place of comfort. When he opened the gates of heaven, he opened them for those who were in the place of comfort. Now, Scripture doesn't say a whole lot about the place of comfort. We can rest assured that it is a wonderful place, and the place that followed even better, infinitely better. But the Gospels and our Scripture say a lot about the place of torment. Our Gospels describe it as a place of unquenchable fire, of torture, of darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of never-ending corruption. When the gates of heaven opened, those in the place of comfort leave. And Sheol, as it was, ceases to exist and becomes only hell. In our culture today, there's a growing sentiment that no one really goes to hell. We've all heard that, right? We start telling ourselves, the God I believe in wouldn't send me to hell. We tell ourselves, I'm not a saint, but I am a good person. Satan desires us to join him in hell. And Satan is always trying to bring about our ruin. He wants us unconscious of our actual vices and passions. And when we allow, he fills our imagination with visions of perfection that he knows we will never attain. We have to be vigilant and recognize that what Satan presents us is a world of fantasy. We need to avoid his trap and fight him in this, the world of reality. Otherwise, Satan's subtle deception can give us dangerous setbacks to our holiness without giving much thought to the means of countering them. Our secret pride can seize on these fanciful desires, mistaking them for reality and leading us on with exaggerated notions of our own sanctity. The problem with the human heart is we can become so self-absorbed in ourselves that even God cannot get through to us. St. Augustine defines sin as incurvitus in se, the curving inward of the soul. That is as good as any definition for sin, the curving inward of the soul. Dante, a great writer, and we've all heard of Dante's Inferno, he describes sin that way. In his Inferno at the heart of hell, Dante didn't discover Milton's Satan from the Promised Land. You know the one, the other devil. That's the one that says it's better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. Quite the contrary. In the heart of hell, Dante finds a sad-looking three-headed dragon, a perverted likeness of the Trinity, locked in a glacier of ice that is created from his own tears. This devil is so preoccupied with himself that he doesn't notice Dante and his guide Virgil standing watching him. Dante notices the devil trying to break free from the ice by his own effort, flapping his wings. This only made things colder. The message is, if sin is the curving inward of sin, the curving inward of the soul, at the heart of hell is a soul locked in the ice, created by his or her own tears, forever oblivious to anyone but him or herself. Now, the rich man in our story is located in an inferno of his own. The sum total of his choices in life led him to this eternal no to God that can't be undone after death. There is a chasm in the afterlife that cannot be crossed. God does not damn anyone to hell. God wants us all to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. But God will not force himself on us. Love cannot, by definition, force love out of another. God will not force salvation on us. We have to accept this gift through our words and deeds. That is why Jesus gave us the sacraments. He gives us sacraments that are celebrated once and then are nurtured throughout our lives, like baptism, confirmation, matrimony, and holy orders. Jesus also gave us sacraments to receive time and time again, like the Eucharist, reconciliation, and when appropriate, anointing of the sick. God also gave us the Beatitudes, parables like the one today, and the Ten Commandments for the care of our souls. He gives us scripture, like our second reading, where we are told to pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. These disciplines and practices open our hearts to a greater awareness of the Lazaruses in our lives. We are called to be disciples of Christ. We are challenged to be better stewards of our time, talent, and treasure, whether we are rich or poor. We should not make the mistakes of the rich man in the gospel who succumbed to indifference to the people in the world around him. The point of our gospel reading today is that we must watch out for our sins of omission, sins demonstrating the failure to act, sins that demonstrate that even after all of our necessary pious observances, we miss the whole point, namely, to facilitate a greater love for God and neighbor, especially the most vulnerable around us. That is what seems to be missing in our world today. And it's happening more and more. Love for God and love for neighbor is being replaced with indifference for God and indifference for neighbor. We sometimes care for more for what is going on in those handheld screens we hold before us than we do in the beating hearts of the people around us. The nature of free will is that God will not force us to love him and people around us. We must choose that. Hell is real, and to avoid it, we must choose to be loving each and every day. My brothers and sisters, are we people of God, people of love, or have we created a chasm between ourselves and the Lazaruses of the world, putting ourselves in that place of eternal torment?